The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Robert Jeffress lays out 10 core beliefs that every Christian should know.
It's possible to believe things you don't apply, but it's impossible to apply truth you don't believe.
That's right.
And this is a way of calling the church back to the historic truths that have made the church what it is. And I believe the reason most Christians are not embracing these basic truths is they're not hearing them in the pulpit any longer.
Okay, you know I'm not kidding when I tell you we're glad to come into the home and that you give us this chance. James Robinson, Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. And you can tell I've already got my book open, I'm already ready. Because I've got one of my favorite people and one of my favorite preachers, teachers, friends, and writers. And this is a tremendous book. I actually think it ought to be it should be a textbook in every church. But let me just, I got to ask Dr. Jeffress something. He always looks nice. Do you sleep in your tie?
I was born in my tie.
You two know part of, when we get out here, we talk about, angels and demons. Part of my deliverance was being delivered from ties. And you know what most Baptists said? Said, James, you delivered us all from ties. We feel like we got the yoke of bondage.
You're a trendsetter in every sense of the word.
I got to know this. Do you have any blue jeans?
No.
you don't, do you?
I don't.
Well, I want y'all to buy Dr. Jeffress some blue jeans.
Please.
And I want one day on a Sunday, I want him to wear blue jeans to church. Let's just see if God's power is powerful enough he can preach in blue jeans.
When you see that happen, you'll know the end has come.
That's funny.
Are they just not comfortable to you?
I just have never liked them.
You never have?
Yeah.
Well, you don't do blue jean stuff, I guess. Do you spend a tremendous amount of time in meditation and study?
Yes, and I got that from my mentor and my pastor for so many years and my predecessor, Dr. Criswell.
Yeah. Amazing.
He said, Robert, if you want to stay in a church as long as I stay, save your mornings for God.
Wow.
Your mornings for God, and you'll always have something fresh to share.
That's awesome.
And he said, if you don't do that, what you'll end up doing is you'll go to a church, and after 2 years, you run out of stuff, and you have to go to another church and another church and another church.
Well, you're never going to run out of stuff or churches that would want you. You are amazing. Now, listen, this is what every Christian should know, okay? 10 core beliefs for standing strong in a very shifting world and a very shady world and a very deceived world and a very deceptive world and a very defeated world. And too much of that has crept into the church.
It has.
And that needs to go. And I think, really, to be honest with you, you and I have had a remarkable journey together watching people who are leaders in the various parts of the body of Christ actually not only come to, so to speak, tolerate one another, but actually act like they might like each other. You know, and really and truly, it's easier sometimes to love your neighbor than it is your brother.
Yeah.
And that's sad. Okay, you talk about the 10 core beliefs. Now, we're going to talk about 5 of them in this program and then 5 in another program. I'm going to read them real fast. Here are the chapters. This is the core beliefs. God's Word, the importance of the Word. God the Father. We do have a Father. He is God. He can't accept any other place. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then boom, angels and demons. Both are messengers, but they are very distinctly different. Humanity and sin, salvation, and boy, this is true salvation. This isn't religious, ritualistic relationship or membership. This is a relationship with that Father, that God, that Son, that Spirit. It's a relationship. The church, not just a church or churches, the church. That's like the family, God's family. Future things and Christ-likeness. Okay, why did you write this book?
James and Betty, we've all read the polls that show fewer and fewer Christians are embracing the basic truths of Christianity. The majority of Christians don't know about the Holy Spirit. They don't know about the one way of salvation. They have adopted the world's belief system that is always shifting. And I wrote this book, What Every Christian Should Know, to reclaim the 10 pillars of historic Christianity. These aren't secondary issues or tertiary issues. This is what has upheld the Christian faith. What every Christian needs to know about God, salvation, future things. This is like a mini seminary class.
Well, it is.
Because I believe that Christians, I mean, it's possible to believe things you don't apply, but it's impossible to apply truth you don't believe.
That's right.
And this is a way of calling the church back to the historic truths that have made the church what it is. And I believe the reason most Christians are not embracing these basic truths is they're not hearing them in the pulpit any longer. They're hearing feel-good messages, relationship messages, and there's a place for all that. But again, you can't apply truth you don't know. And so this is not some cold, dry doctrine that people will choke on. Every chapter contains vivid applications of why this truth matters to me. Why is it important to know who God the Father is? Well, there's some real reasons. You know, what you believe about God the Father determines what kind of person you are and what kind of life you lead. And the same thing about the Bible and these other doctrines. So I'm hoping that this book will be a call to the church as well as individual Christians to come back to the basics.
You know, you can make a god, an idol, or gods out of most anything. But there's only one God, and that God is Father, and He is looking for a family, and that's a people that He has a relationship with. You believe that the God who created us is a God who wants relationship.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think about the story about the first grader that was working on an art project, and the teacher came by and said, "Johnny, what are you drawing?" He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And she said, "Well, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like." He said, "They will in a few minutes."
<You
know? laughs> and interestingly, like a lot of people think that God is whatever I think He is. You know, A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And I would say to our viewers, you know, what is it that comes to your mind? Is your idea of God really based on truth or just based on your own conjecture? And again, we talk about the attributes of God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. What does that mean to me? It means nothing that happens to me takes God by surprise.
Right.
When I go through a trial, God doesn't say, "Oh no, look at what happened to Robert. What am I going to do?" God knows the future because He's planned the future. God's omnipotence means He's all powerful. Well, what does that mean? It means He can do anything. He can do anything. Nothing is too hard for God. As Job said, nobody can thwart your purpose. Mm-hmm. It means that God can do anything, and that means, now think about this, James and Betty. What circumstances there are in your life right now that God couldn't change in an instant if He wanted to?
Yeah.
If there is some hard thing going on in your life, in my life, it's not because God can't change it. He has a purpose for that.
Yeah.
You know, all things work together for good. God causes all things to work together for good. That doesn't mean everything's good that happens to us, but God is so powerful that He can take the worst things that happen to us, and you all have had some hard things that have happened to you. Those aren't good things in and of themselves, but God uses them for good.
And when bad things happen, many times it's very difficult to start loving Him.
Yeah.
It's best to start loving Him because He's worthy of love. He is love. He has given His best because He loves us. And if we would love Him now, it's much easier to see. Now, think about what I'm saying. You can see this God who loves you so much, who you love, working even bad, difficult, terribly painful things for good if you recognize you're called according to His kingdom purpose, and He wants to shape you into vessels of honor through which He flows His will to the benefit of blessing others, even those with broken hearts. One of the greatest senses of comfort that we can have in feeling the arms of God is when His arms are extended through others to embrace us the way He does. And I encourage, and you do too, let's embrace one another with that.
Absolutely.
Love.
You know, that's one of the things we talk about, I think we'll talk about in the next program, about the doctrine of the church. You know, God created the church. It's His idea, and because He knows how much we need it. Mm-hmm. We're like those two porcupines in northern Canada that were huddling together to keep warm. They needed each other, even though they needled each other. And, you know, that's the same thing. You and I might needle each other, James. Betty would never needle us, but you might, I might, we might needle each other. But we need each other. We can't exist on our own.
I just heard another book for you. You just need to write a book with all these little catchy things that you come up with. I mean, all these little, I don't know where in heaven's name you get them all and how you work
with
them.
I hope that's where they came from and not the other place, but that's another
book. Real quickly, what I hear is, I've listened to both of you, is talking about the basics. The basics starts with that relationship.
That's right.
With Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and then the journey begins.
That's right.
It's just like when we have a baby, we don't just put that baby down and lay it there. Well, you're on your own.
Yeah.
God says, no, I want to show you love. I want to nurture you.
That's
I want
right.
to teach you how to walk. I want to teach you how to talk.
Yes.
I want you to teach you how to love and how to forgive and all these things. So it's the beginning of the journey is that relationship with Him.
And it has to happen,
yeah.
but that's the beginning, not the
that's
end.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting, too, the way we started this conversation. The first principle is the importance of God's Word. Because it's God's Word that tells us about the Father, God. But we have a relationship with the Father that the Word has led us to. And because we not only carry the Word, we have found in our experience with the Lord that His Word will actually carry us. It is something that's bound up in our heart. It's not just carried in a binder. But we start with the Word of God. And you're never going to have a great church family. You're not going to have a great family without the importance of the Word of God. And then knowing God as Father. Because His Word in the beginning was the Word was with God, Word was God. The point is that the Word actually leads us to this relationship with the Father, and then what you just talked about, Jesus, the Son. You can't really know the Father experientially until there is a spiritual birth, because we are fallen humanity. We have fallen in sin. We have died in sin. There has to be redemption to take us out of an eternal death that's already begun because of the fall of man and because of sin, which you teach all of this so beautifully. But God the Son, and you actually seem to make it clear that there's three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that in our particular circle of belief, that they're the three in one. They're distinct, but they're one.
Yes.
Okay, so the Son. Tell us why the Son is core belief.
Yeah. Well, what's important for people to know about the Son, Jesus, is that, first of all, He's equal with God. He didn't just appear at Bethlehem. That wasn't the beginning of the Son. He was in heaven from the beginning of time. Colossians 1 says, all things were created by Jesus. All things were created by Him and for Him. Mm-hmm. We think it's God the Father who created the world, but it's actually
wow.
Christ the Son.
Amazing.
All things created by Him and for Him. It's Jesus, the perfect Son of God who died and provides forgiveness for our sins. But I'd like to share the most practical aspect of what we need to know about Jesus, and that is how we live today. We're supposed to model our lives after Jesus. When you look at Jesus, what were His priorities? First of all, He prioritized God's Word. Mm-hmm. Knowing His Father's Word, when He was tempted by the devil, three times by the devil, he quoted Scripture. And think about this, all three quotations were from the same book of the Bible, Deuteronomy.
Wow.
My old professor, Howard Hendricks, said one time to our class, he said, men, if your spiritual survival depended on how well you knew the book of Deuteronomy, how well would you do? Maybe that's why you're not doing so well. I mean, he was able to quote Scripture and to repel the attacks of Satan. So it was God's Word that was a priority to him. His Father's presence was important to him. You find in Mark 1, after the busiest day of ministry in his whole life, when he could have slept in, the Bible says he got up while it was still dark and went out to a lonely place and prayed, as was his custom. Just think about it. If Jesus, the Son of God, was so dependent on fellowship with His Father, how much more vital is that for you and me today? And then the third thing, he said his priority was His Father's will. My food, he said, is to do the will of Him who sent me. And so that's the practical thing we can learn from knowing about Jesus, the Son of God.
And the Holy Spirit brings this ever-present, powerful person in spirit in us. Explain the importance of that.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is probably the unsung hero of the Godhead.
Wow.
When people talk about God the Father, they talk about God the Son. You don't talk about the Holy Spirit that much. Some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They think he's, you know, something
spooky
or you're going to be rolling on the floor, babbling if you believe too much in the Holy Spirit and so forth. He is God in us, the Holy Spirit of God. He protects our salvation. He's the seal that guarantees we're going to see God one day. He's the one who empowers us. For with one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. He's the one who gives us the power to say no to sin. It's vitally important that we understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For with one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body." Paul was writing to those carnal, sinful Corinthians. He was saying, even as sinful as you are, don't forget you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Baptism with the Spirit is not some special spiritual upgrade that only a few can afford and get. It's part of the basic package. But there's a difference, and James, we've talked about this before, there's a difference between the baptism with the Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit.
And the fruit that that produces.
There is no command to be baptized with the Spirit. That's what God does. But there are plenty of commands to be filled with the Spirit.
That
word filled means to control. And our choice, our question is not are we going to have all of the Holy Spirit, but is the Holy Spirit going to have all of us?
That's beautiful.
And the more we yield to the Holy Spirit's control of our life, the more supernatural fruit we produce.
That is so powerful. It does produce that fruit too. The evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not just special enabling to do real special supernatural things, but to literally walk in the fruit of the Spirit with that love and that joy and that peace prevailing, because that's a work of the Spirit. Now, we're going to probably carry over this into the next program, angels and demons. We know angels are messengers. We know they can deliver messages for the enemy too, just like the Emperor God, but they really can be angelic blessings and protection. But demons, you know, as a Baptist, I used to be afraid to even talk about demons. What I didn't realize is, although demons cannot, and you make it so clear here in the book, they cannot possess a Christian. They can definitely assault, they can attack, they can distract, they can deceive, and they can even defeat us. And we've got to realize that we don't have to be afraid of them. We can resist them and they'll flee. You know, one of the strongest things the Lord showed me about resisting demonic temptation or attack, because he does attack. He attacks our mind. He attacks our appetites.
Yes.
He tries to distract us and attract us with unhealthy attractions. But what I had dogs at a retreat we had that would chase my car every time I left. They're like, what are you going to do if you catch the car? What are you going to do with it? If you grab a tire, it's going to jerk your head off. But they would just run right. And I got so sick and tired of them, I threw the door open. I said, stop it. Get out of here. And they just turned their tails and they ran off. And God just spoke to me. He said, you rebuke the devil with that kind of force and you watch how fast he flees. There is something about Christians understanding we have to stand up against this enemy. Now, we're going to continue. There are 5 points we're going to take up just a little bit more on this one because it's important about angels and demons. Because we're all under assault, but we all have angelic beings and hosts that God sends to protect us. I want you to get this book. Yes, it's in the bookstores. You can go online. But I'll tell you what. Would you help us be an answer to a grandmother's prayer?
Yeah.
Would you be somebody's miracle? If we're going to send you this. And Dr. Jeffers loves what we do. It's why he's one of our best friends. He's been listening to me since he was a kid, and I didn't mess him up. Thank you, Lord. And we're close. And I want this to be a textbook. I wish every church would have it. We'll send it to you. I want you to watch this. Now, listen. Grandparents here, great-grandparents. Boy, do we understand love. Listen to this grandmother.
กรรมเจ้าบาดตรมนึกเฮยสดายเจ้าได้สดาย
อ at some point, we all wish we could go back, that we could change things. But for some people, even if they could go back, there's nothing more they could do. For Amek, to go back would simply mean reliving this horrible tragedy all over again. There's nothing we can do to bring her grandson back, but we can provide clean water to countless families just like hers and alter the course of their lives forever.
Well, you're looking at grandparents, mm-hmm. You know what that feels like to lose a child, a daughter. We've had two of our great-grandchildren stillborn. And Betty, we know what that woman feels.
Yeah, we do. You know, as Tammy said, she would love to be able to go back, that grandmother would. And she knew what the answer was. It was better water, cleaner water, that would save her grandson. But she couldn't get to any. She didn't have the resources that she needed. We all go through life thinking if we've lived very long, we know there's things that we are disappointed about, that we didn't do differently, that we could not go back and change something. But God can make the difference. If you'll join with us in the water wells, we can keep this from happening to the grandchildren of those grandmothers that love their grandchildren so much.
Well, we are literally the miracle somebody's praying for. You are. Now, we've committed, now listen to what I'm saying, 350 more wells in 20 various countries, most of them in Africa. I said we've committed 350. What that does is that gives the missionaries hope that we have at least targeted that area. And we try to target what we believe is reasonable. In other words, we believe we can do it. Because you don't want to give hope and not be able to deliver. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes you enable us to go beyond the hope, to hope for them. So please understand, it's one well at a time. It's one gift at a time. Now, there are people, Betty, who tell us the greatest joy they personally have is knowing they can give a village and give people water basically the rest of their life. And they still cost an average of $4,800, which is miraculous. $4,800 will give a well. $48 will give 10 people water basically the rest of their life. $144, multiply that out, will give 30 people water the rest of their life. Many of our viewers can't give $4,800. Most can give $48. And if you can, I believe you will. But sometimes people say, I can give $1,200 and pray three join me. There you go, we got a well. Or $2,400 and pray one joins me. There is a level at which everybody can help to be the miracle that grandmother needed. Many grandmothers and mothers and parents and families need that miracle. Many children need it. Would you right now please dial the phone number there that's always there as a prayer line, paid for by love? Or would you go online and would you get your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you should always use a bank card. Would you make the gift God put on your heart right now, please? Call the number, go online, get your bank card. If you want to make a check, make it to life. But call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail, please. Would you be some grandmother's miracle? Some child's miracle, some parent's miracle. Would you be the answer to someone's prayer? I say this many times. You want your prayers answered? Seek to be an answer to someone else's prayers. Just watch what happens when you focus on others. Would you make that gift God put on your heart? Thank you so much for doing it.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease. and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you The Birthright. This book is a liberating and life-changing celebration of your birthright as a child of the King. Discover the joy of coming home to your father's warm embrace. With your gift of $100 or more, we'll also send you the Moments with Him mug set. These two beautifully crafted coffee mugs feature scripture on the side, the perfect way to start your day and reflect on the goodness of God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
By the way, I do like these cups. Be still and know that I'm God. And then His love endures forever. These are nice. The book, The Birthright, will bless you. And you know, if this is my prayer that it be a textbook for every church, it could sure be a textbook for every Christian. That would cover every church. So how about we just get these simple truths, but the way this man presents them and the way you listen to him, it's the way they come across. So he's going to be back with us. We're going to talk about the other 5 principles, these core beliefs, and I know you're going to be with us. Dr. Jefferson, I love you. I look forward to the next time together.
I'm going to go put on my blue jeans before tomorrow.
Well, you got to go buy them first.
I got time.
I love you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing life.
I longed to be free more than I longed to have secrets.
Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.